You are an idiot, Cass announced after Dean caught him up on the latest news. Great, thanks. Care to explain? Hades is, I still do not understand you or your thought processes. Well, your unhelpful criticism of my brain is duly noted. Now, are you going to help us out here or not? My help in this situation is obvious. I cannot allow my brothers to run about conspiring with demons. What I am more concerned about are your intentions. My intentions? I'm not taking him on a date here, and even if I were, he's the virtue-stealing douchebag, Dean pointed out in what he thought was a perfectly reasonable analogy. I was referring to your ulterior motives for assisting, although I do find your somewhat insane family loyalty touching. Assassinating him is most definitely not going to bring Sam back. It will only leave you with a corpse to burn. What do you know about it? Last I checked, you were off being a pansy-assed angel without a clue. Sam is all I've got, okay? He's... You know what? Fuck you, Cass. Fuck you, and fuck Lisa, and fuck fucking Sam, too, because I can't do this. I'm not... I can't go back to playing white picket fences and apple pie life. I'm not that guy. So when this latest world-ending catastrophe is over, I am grabbing that brother-wearing freak, marching his ass into hell, and goddamn dragging my bitch of a little brother's soul out with me in his goddamn meat suit. You'll get yourself killed, and how do you think that Sam would feel about that? I don't care. He's the one who... He... Dean paused and took a deep breath before his emotions got the better of him. He wasn't going to lose it in front of the kiss-ass angel that he used to think was his friend. Dean. Castiel's monotone voice was pitched softly, and Dean stepped away before the angel tried to touch his shoulder in camaraderie or some other human feeling left over from when he hadn't been hopped up on his own powers and actually had been experiencing human feelings. Gigantor growled softly from over where he was laying in the shade of one of Bobby's clunkers. Damn unhelpful dog. Although, maybe the dog was smarter than Dean was. Maybe the stupid mutt actually knew when it couldn't win a fight. Just go talk to your angel buddies and see what you can do, Dean told Cass dismissively. Castiel opened his mouth as if to say something. Argue some more, maybe? Or point out that as some uber-angel, he didn't have to take Dean's orders. But he simply huffed once instead and disappeared. Dean closed his eyes to block out the view of the sunny yard that was all he could see once Castiel vanished. It figured. Even the weather rarely agreed with his mood. Jess liked to think of herself as an adaptable sort of girl. She was smart and athletic. Hell, she didn't get into Stanford on her fabulous looks and her parents' money. Well, not alone she didn't. She had earned her place at that institution, and even if Sam had always had a higher GPA than her, well, Sam had whipped everybody's asses. As his girlfriend, she'd gotten bragging rights. Being Sam's girlfriend amongst hunters got her a shotgun with instructions to shoot anything that looks menacing. She'd have shot Dean out of principle if she knew what was in the rounds that he'd given her. Sam's older brother was gorgeous, freaking scary, and quite possibly insane. He wasn't her type at all. When the weird Crowley guy had popped into Bobby's kitchen, she hadn't been surprised. Not that she'd been expecting an average-looking man in an expensive suit to appear in a rundown house in the middle of North Dakota, but her hangover from the blood had been pretty bad at that point. Plus, the whole my ex-boyfriend is now king of the underworld thing had pretty much sapped away any reserves of shock that she'd had left from the coming back to life scenario. Crowley, who was apparently a demon and not to be trusted, except that they were trusting him for some damn reason, had come to inform Hades that there was a group of demons nesting in a nearby cave, and they were planning some seriously funky mystic crap. Dean Dean had come in on the tail end of the conversation and had looked pissed. But he hadn't said anything, other than that they weren't going to let Hades deal with the whole thing himself. If there was going to be something big going down, Dean wasn't trusting either Hades or Crowley to tell him what was actually going on. He was going to see for himself. Of course, taking Bobby along meant that Jess had to come as well because she needed to be protected. She wasn't sure why giving her a gun and dragging her along to a demon hunt was considered protection, but it had seemed to make sense to Dean, and as much as he seemed to be a little loose in the head, he also appeared to be an expert on these things. The supernatural world was exhausting, in her humble opinion. Jess was so never celebrating Halloween again. "You doing okay?" Bobby's gentle voice soothed her nerves, and she would have smiled at him except for the fact that his kindly face was shadowed by the barrel of his own bigger shotgun. "Not really," Jess answered him honestly, because honesty was usually a good policy, and she was going to be stuck in this situation whether she told the truth or not. Bobby just grunted sympathetically at her, and for a second she marveled at how expressive the man could be with his grunts. She'd heard enough of them earlier when they'd been preparing to go to wherever it was that the Crowley guy demon had taken them. It had been like watching a bizarre case of gay sexual harassment. Crowley wouldn't take no for an answer, and Bobby eventually just devolved into grunting admonishments. Hades had been amused at first, but as Bobby had gotten more and more uncomfortable, his mouth had slowly inverted from a tiny smile to a disapproving scowl. The next thing that Jess knew, the lights in Bobby's house were flickering and the floorboards were quaking. And Crowley? He'd gone from outright leering at Bobby's beard and making comments about road rash to slapping both hands over his mouth and nostrils. Bobby had yanked Jess behind him. Dean had leveled two pistols at Hades. The lights had abruptly turned back on, and the rumbling instantly ceased. "Sorry, I... that happens sometimes when I lose my temper," Hades had explained, his hands raised in a half-hearted gesture of surrender. Crowley had dropped his hands, but said nothing. His eyes had continued to shine in terror long after his face had reassumed its cocky smirk. Dean's eyes had remained cold, and he was never out of arm's reach of a gun for the rest of the night. And now they were about to invade a cave that was supposedly holding an entire posse of demons. Jess had been deemed a horrible shot by all who witnessed, but eventually given a gun anyway because she needed to be able to defend herself. The Latin for the exorcisms had been easy, though. It was a remnant of her time with Sam. He'd been at the top of his class in Latin, and had developed a habit of muttering it under his breath whenever he felt the need to insult somebody or something without being caught. Jess had learned some of it simply to satiate her curiosity of what he'd been saying. Dean had been surprised at how easily she memorized the incantation. Hades had looked almost proud, and she wondered if Sam's leftover memories didn't affect him more than he was admitting. The devil's traps, those were a piece of cake. Once she got past the fact that it was really sort of creepy to be drawing them, she'd been able to practically fly through their creation. She had minored in art in college, and her professors had always alternately praised her wide range of ability with different mediums, and mourned her inability to specialize in just one. Jess doubted that any of those professors had ever envisioned her putting their training to use by etching out half a demon-catching trap in dirt, and then mixing her own saliva with that dirt to finish the trap by drawing on a large rock. Of course, Jess also doubted her own sanity these days, so she didn't think about her professors all that much. Before her mind could wander off on another topic, all hell broke loose. Or rather, as much hell as she'd ever seen. There were guns firing and men screaming in Latin. There were inhuman cries and a rumbling in the ground that accompanied those cries. And in the middle of all the noise that she could hear erupting inside the cave, it started to rain. Which sucked, because dirt washes away in the rain, and even the traps that had been made with the assistance of spray paint were becoming deformed as the water pushed away the parts that had been formed over movable debris. Of course, just when the traps were mostly eroded was the time that the fight moved out of the cave. There was an explosion, and soon Jess was watching in horrified fascination as Dean got into a bizarre knife fight with a man that made Sam look small. A small part of her insisted that she help Dean by shooting at the demon that was attacking him. The more rational part of her realized that her heroism was misplaced, as she would just as likely hit Dean as the monster. "Dean!" A bellowing voice had echoed out of the cave, and three more bodies exploded out from the mouth of it as Hades stumbled forward. If the whole situation hadn't been so terrifying, it would have been funny seeing so large a man stumble forward with so many bodies grabbing onto him, trying to drag him back into the cave. For a second, Jess was tempted to shoot at them. With the mass of creatures, she was fairly certain that even with her bad aim, she would hit an enemy. Just as she was raising her gun, Dean's damn dog overcame its bizarre cowardice and took off into the fray, snarling and biting at the demons hanging off of Hades's tall frame. And really, it was just a dog. Its life wasn't more important than that of her more human compatriots. But she was pretty certain that Dean would hurt her if she hit it in her firing attempts. Plus, she was pretty certain that it was inflicting way more damage than her shoddy shooting would. The downside to the dog joining the fray was that it caused some of the monsters to look in her direction. That was a bad thing. Jess finally got to fire her gun as three of the demons broke off from the swarm at the mouth of the cave and came running in her direction. As scary as it had been when Hades had been causing earthquakes and electrical problems, there was something significantly more frightening about being advanced on by people with inky black eyes. For a brief moment, Jess flashed back to being held captive. The smell of death and the sounds of torture surrounding her, and the feeling of thick, cold blood sliding in her mouth. Then she started shooting. She only got off two shots before they were on her, and only one of those shots even grazed her would-be attackers in the leg. For a split second, all she could do was scream her fool head off. Then her self-preservation instincts took over, and she was sobbing out Latin as fast as she could, and half praying that her pounding heart would just explode on her so that she could die of a heart attack instead of something more terrifying. "Jess!" Dean's bellow was garbled, but Jess could see that even though he had noticed her plight, he wasn't going to be coming to her rescue. He was bleeding, and although his knife-fighting opponent was now lying presumably dead at his feet, he had his own group of devils attacking him. Jess fought back another scream of terror when Dean went down under the force of his attackers and turned the energy into a shrieking yell of an exorcism. It was quite possibly the shrillest that her voice had ever been, but it was at least making the demons wince in pain as they tried to get closer. "No!" Hades' bellow rang through the downpour, and Jess didn't have time to be surprised that he was free enough of the throng to bellow anything, because the mud beneath her feet started to buckle and heave while lightning started streaking down out of the sky like the raindrops instead of the normal electrical bolts that they should have been. The movement of the earth made her slip and fall onto her butt, but she kept chanting despite the fact that she was certain that the world was about to end. If she was going to be taking her second ride upstairs, she was going to be sending a couple of these bastards downstairs before she went. A horrible howling joined the sounds of battle, and Jess worried that a tornado had gotten summoned along with the weather. The sad thing was that she was more worried that it would drown out the sounds of her exorcism, more than she was worried about the fact that her ex-boyfriend was probably the one summoning it. One of the demons was grabbing onto her arm when it suddenly jerked and half-spun to its right. A muted boom sounded, and it jerked backwards again before black smoke started pouring out of its face. Her other two attackers started to tremble, and soon they were expelling the same substance from their mouths. When they dropped to the ground, Jess turned her own terrified gaze away from the bodies to thank Hades for his rescue, only to see the now soggy ball cap and beard of Bobby Singer. Confused, she cast her gaze back to the entrance of the cave, but there was only a very worse-for-wear Crowley standing there. A soft moan drew her gaze back towards where she'd seen Dean fall during the battle. Her first instinct was to jerk her eyes away from what she saw. Gigantor was sitting tall and cowed next to Dean's prone body. Blood was dripping from his muzzle, and even in the poorly lit world that the storm had created, she could see where the blood was matting with the mud to make his gray fur almost black. She forced her gaze back, though, because Hades was cradling Dean's head in his lap and murmuring God knew what into the hunter's ear. She heard another moan and realized that it was actually coming from Dean, and that the man wasn't dead after all. She scrambled to her feet and hurried over to the scene, Bobby running clumsily behind her. When she got to Dean, she could see that Hades was applying pressure to a head wound. For a second, his hazel eyes were full of panic and fear, before they settled into the calm gaze that she'd seen him use ever since she first saw him in Bobby's kitchen. Recognition slammed into her, and all of her classes at Stanford about mythology started scrambling in her brain along with memories of Sam. The days and hours that she'd spent trying to get him to talk about his family had been short on conversation, but rife with looks. The hard look he'd get when she asked about his father was always superseded by the vaguely guilty one that he got when she'd ask about his brother. That look always faded into something else. Annoyance, worry, pain, loneliness. She figured that she understood the guilt now that she knew the truth about what he had left behind, what he had left Dean behind to deal with. And she understood, looking at Hades now, that it wasn't just Sam's memories putting those feelings in those damn shifty eyes. Sam, Jess accused the instant that Hades stepped through the motel room door. Bobby was staying at the hospital while they waited for Dean, or rather, Lars Nelson, to be released from observation for his head wound, and Jess didn't want to wait to have this confrontation. She also didn't want to have it with other people present, and with Crowley skulking back to wherever he came from, she figured that now was the perfect time. Some part of her had been hoping for a denial. She'd wanted to at least fight with him because they had some pretty damn big unfinished business. But he simply shot her a sad smile and sat down on the small chair in the room. It creaked under his weight, but held together.
"Well?" he prompted after a moment of silence.
"I was waiting for the denial," she told him honestly, because, well, direct always worked best with Sam. He was too adept at lying and half-truths to ever be beaten with that game. He shrugged and shook his head.
"Wouldn't do any good, would it?"
Why?
"You're going to have to be a bit more specific. There are a lot of things that you could be justifiably asking me with that question."
Jess rolled her eyes at him and crossed her arms over her chest.
"I think you know the one I'm asking about." "Because he doesn't..." Dean had a chance with Lisa. Before all of this came up, he was starting to adjust. He was starting to fit in. If this hadn't started, he'd probably be engaged right now, talking to Ben about family and how not being his real father doesn't mean squat.
Jess frowned and glared a little at Sam, because in her opinion, he was painting a pretty damn rosy picture there, but he was earnest about wanting the best for Dean. That was sort of endearing. On the other hand, her involvement with his lying ass had gotten her not only killed, but resurrected and tortured as well. That deserved a little payback.
"You were stalking him? That is really creepy of you."
Sam flinched and looked down at the massive paws that he called his hands.
"Yeah, well, I'm kind of a freak."
"I noticed," It was about the time that you started the Professor Xavier act. Jess deadpanned back, because she apparently had wells of anger and bitterness about the whole thing that she hadn't realized she had. Professor Xavier was the telepath, Jess. I think that Storm, or maybe Jean Grey, or even Magneto would be a better pick. What with the lights and demon pulling and weird weather stuff. God, you're such a dweeb, Jess said as she stomped over and tweaked the end of his nose. It was an old habit that she'd gotten into whenever they were having a fight. Her friends had called it a psychological problem that she felt the need to prove to herself that she could physically harm him, even though he was so much bigger than her. Ow, Sam whined, the same as he always had. You've got a funny nose. I think you got so tall because your mother gave all the pretty boy genes to your brother. Sam's eyebrows flew upwards. What are you, 12? Don't you have better things to be insulting me with? Yes, I do. But I really would rather not think about your undying, sociopathic, gay love for your brother right now. Sam sputtered a while before regaining his voice. What are you talking about? Sam, really? I'm not stupid here. You avoided even talking to your brother for 2 years. Then he shows up in the middle of the night for you to go help him find your father, and you leave with him. He needed help. Sam, the man was fighting off an entire army of evil today. He doesn't need any help except for the kind that a good psychologist can offer. And I'm betting that isn't a new trend in his life. He came, and somewhere inside you, you wanted to go. Thanks for that, by the way. I came back, Sam protested. It doesn't matter. You didn't want to. Or at least not all of you did. My God, Sam, were you ever really in love with me? Of course I was. Jess, I loved you so much. When you died, I... Jess held up her hand when the tears started welling up in his eyes. Those were real, but they didn't matter at the moment. Just, it doesn't matter anymore. You've moved on, and I've had a few good years of afterlife, with hopefully an eternity to come if I don't really mess up on this second existence thing. Sam shook his head in denial. It does matter. You... I'm not Dean, Sam. I'll never be him, and you will never be happy without him. He's my brother. He's yours, period. I wasn't the one that you ran to rescue today. That isn't... He had more demons attacking him. 2 more than I did, and he is far better equipped than I am to deal with that. But it was Dean you were calling for, and it was Dean that you sent that damn dog to protect. Sam, that dog is the most terrifying beast I've ever laid eyes on. So what is Hades without Cerberus? I'm guessing that he's actually a mix of 3 different breeds, and I'm hoping that you aren't hiding his extra heads with magic or something. Sam laughed a little at that. No, he's just a normal dog. Mostly. It's a long story. Suffice it to say that I was freshly out of hell and wasn't too happy with what his former owner was doing to him. Yeah, well, he's still terrifying. He wasn't too happy with being put in the motel's kennel. He doesn't do well with cages. Sam's chest puffed out a bit in defense of his dog, and for a second Jess was reminded of why she had fallen in love with him. He'd been hellbent on becoming a champion of the oppressed, suing one evil corporation after another until justice was served. It turned out that he was really just hellbound, though, and she really had no business loving a taken man. Neither do you, she finally replied softly. I'm in a cage that is of my own making. It's different. Not so different. It's necessary, Sam clarified. For who? You?
because I might not know your brother all that well, but I think he'd rather know that you're you in there than think that you're some creature wearing his brother's face. What Dean wants rarely turns out to be what is good for him. Jess glared at him. I think I'm going to be offended on his behalf for that comment. Where do you get off making those sorts of decisions for him? Last I checked, he has free will. Last I checked, I never brought him anything but more pain and heartache. I'm not going to do that to him. Not again. I love him too much to put him through this. I won't do it. What I am now is unnatural. I can't change what I've become, but I can save my brother from it. And what happens when those ghouls that we found today finally figure out that Persephone isn't a girl, that your other half is strutting around with a cock and a gun? How are you going to feel when that happens? It won't. You can't stop it. I figured it out, and if I can do it, so can they. As long as Dean keeps you with him, they'll think it's you. They'll see me protecting you, and Dean will make the same damn assumption. It's what is logical. You jackass! You can't use me as some sort of sick beard to your incestuous gay end-of-the-world romance. Jess hissed as her eyes narrowed. Then give me another choice here, because I am not putting Dean through this. If you're not man enough to tell him, then I will. And so help me, you will regret the way that I tell him. No, you won't. You can't. I'm Hades, remember? I'm not the king of the damned. I'm the king of the dead. It's why Cass couldn't tell Dean about me. Once you've died, you fall within my powers. Not enough to take away your free will, but enough that I can keep you from outing me to Dean. I'll just leave then. And I'll still protect you. It won't be as easy of a conclusion to jump to, but still a feasible one. I'm not going to leave any of you without some sort of defense. Hell, I have Lisa and Ben under watch for harm. What if I don't want your protection? Jess, really, you mean to tell me that you want a bunch of demons and rogue angels after you without any protection? I mean to tell you that you're being crazy right now. Sam winced and looked down at his hands again. I know. Then stop it. I can't. This is the best I can do. These powers aren't exactly all that controllable on my own, and they make me a little unreasonable. It's why I'm meant to have Dean, and why I can't. Binding him to me would share the burden of keeping control, but I can't wish that on him. It would kill him to be that way with me. He would hate himself forever because he'd be certain that he was the one that caused these feelings to develop. Jess shook her head and sat down on the nearest bed. She was tired. Tired of being alive again and tired of arguing with Sam. But she wasn't going to give up. Sam might be a little off kilter and riding high on power at the moment, but she wasn't some dumb blonde. She was smart and devious, and she was going to find a way around his damn powers. Dean really hated hospitals and concussions. He didn't feel the need to justify why he hated them because they were just the kind of thing that reasonable people should hate. Hospitals were just plain nasty and weird-smelling, and the kind of place that he had to visit way too often in his line of work. In a way, he guessed that he felt the same way about them that the average office worker would about his cubicle. And when he was actually the one in the hospital, oh, it was so much more than hate. Loathing was a better word for it. Concussions, though. Once he was finally allowed to sleep, he always dreaded the dreams that he'd have. They were reliably worse than the regular garbled jumble of real-life horrors that his dreams brought. The residual pounding in his head always made things feel sharper and more physical. Images were brighter, sounds were clearer, and his brain conjured up some funky shit. He was pretty certain that this time the drugs the hospital staff gave him gave unnatural assistance to the concussion dream, though, because dreaming about cuddling with that thing that had taken over Sam's body, that was just creepy. First, Dean did not cuddle. Second, Dean did not want to swap spit with Sam's mouth and hold his freakishly large body in a warm embrace. Third, Dean had every intention of torturing that sick bastard until it let Sam back in where he belonged. Dean was going to need a little distance from the guy to do that, and dreaming of sexy cuddle times wasn't going to help that.
"You ready to go?" Bobby asked as he walked into the room. "As soon as that doctor gets back and tells me I'm ready. Hopefully he doesn't die on the way here. I swear the guy is 80, Dean grumbled. Bobby just shrugged. "You doing okay?"
"I'll live."
"Not talking about your latest addition to your scar collection."
"I know. I'll live."
Dean repeated the second phrase slowly.
"Dean, that guy was causing ground tremors and lightning storms."
"Yeah? You've got a point you want to make with that?"
"As a matter of fact, I do. You're an idiot. He could snap you like a twig, and you're going to go after him anyway on the off chance that you might, be able to drag Sam out of a place that you're not even sure he's at. After you promised him that you wouldn't do that."
"I promised Sam that I wouldn't go poking at the cage. If what Hades is telling us is true, then Sam isn't in the cage anymore. I might not be able to go after Adam, but I can go after Sam."
"And what? Get yourself trapped in hell again?"
"At least I'd be with him then."
"Are you insane?"
"No, don't answer that. There is only so much denial that I can stand to hear come out of your lips."
"Look, Bobby, I appreciate you trying to look out for me here, but I tried the normal gig, okay? I tried, and it isn't what it's cracked up to be. So once this thing is over, I'm not going back. And I can't break my promise to Sam unless he's around to know it."
"You're still crazy, and I still don't like it," Bobby muttered.
"You don't have to like it. You just have to quit trying to stop me," Dean rebutted.
"Ain't gonna happen."
Dean didn't respond to that. He just glared at the door to the room until the doctor came. The logical part of Jessica's brain was willing to admit that her current headache was her own fault. She knew that Sam had told her that she couldn't tell Dean the truth, but the instant that he was off with that weird little demon crony of his, she had tried to blurt out the truth to Dean. It hadn't worked so well. The closest she could come was telling Dean that he was an idiot. Surprisingly, he didn't get all that upset with her about it. Of course, that could be because she'd just about choked herself silly, trying to say different phrases that would get Dean to catch the clue bus. By the time that she'd finally managed to insult his intelligence, he'd probably already written her off as having some sort of crazy breakdown. To be honest, she was pretty certain she was close to having a breakdown, so she couldn't blame him. She tried talking to Bobby about it next, which didn't work out any better, and it was getting annoying because apparently the whole not telling Dean thing extended to anybody who wasn't Dean but could tell Dean. Or maybe Sam's mojo just kept her from telling anybody, period. In her previous existence, she would have known to ask that question instead of letting the ultimate weirdness of the situation override her curiosity. Details were essential to figuring out any riddle successfully. The illogical part of her brain was completely willing to blame Sam for her headache because he was the one using his funky powers to silence her against her will. And really, what the hell was with Bobby not noticing anything? He was like some substitute father figure. Substitute father figures should totally notice the tender and caring way that Hades had been protecting and caring for his not brother. Or maybe Bobby was just used to seeing that sort of behavior from Sam, so his mind hadn't noted it as anything unusual.
Jess flopped down on the crappy motel bed and rubbed the bridge of her nose. She should really just give up trying to analyze anything about her situation because it was just plain crazy as fuck. A fluttering and whoosh of wind made her bolt to her feet. Adrenaline pumping, she had the motel lamp swinging down in an arc at the intruder before she realized it was Mr. Suit Guy. He didn't flinch when the lamp made contact, and Jess wondered how much extra the motel was going to charge them for breaking the lamp. Maybe if she bought a little super glue.
"I need to speak with Dean," Suit Guy stated calmly.
"Don't you ever say anything else? Does he have some sort of weird gay draw that I don't know about?" Suit Guy tilted his head inquiringly at her.
"I do not understand your questions, nor why they are associated with each other."
"Look, Mr. You're called Castiel, right?"
"It is my name."
"Look, it's been a really rough re-existence this year, okay? And I'm not exactly fond of being some sort of weird beard for my almost fiancé's gay love for his soulmate brother," Jess snapped. Castiel stared at her for another moment before her brain caught up with what she had just said. "Oh my God! I told you! I totally just told you! And you have to tell Dean because something horrible is going to happen if you don't, because something horrible always happens in cases like this if you don't. And Sam is totally going to just screw this all up because Sam always messes up like that. And even though it is kind of an adorable trait, I really think that he..."
"Jessica, enough."
Castiel's normally mild voice boomed in the small room. "Sorry, sorry. Sometimes I run at the mouth when I get excited." Jess apologized with a tiny smile.
"I would tell Dean if I could, but I am prevented by the same power that keeps you silent."
"You've died too?"
"Yes. Almost everybody that has ever met the Winchesters has died."
"Great. So, you got pulled out of your grave, too?"
"No, God saved me."
Jess laughed.
"I do not understand your humor."
"Hey, it's nothing. So, if God saved you, shouldn't you be exempt from Sam's powers? I mean, God, you know?"
"I am exempt from Sam's powers. It is my vessel that is not."
"Your vessel?" Jess frowned. Her headache had never really abated, and now it was escalating.
"I am an angel, but I need to reside in a human body to be effective in my work on Earth."
"So you're not, like, a fallen angel or anything, are you?" Castiel frowned at her.
"It is complicated."
"Great. My status as an angel is unimportant at this juncture. The point is that Samuel Winchester's powers only work on dead humans, be they bodies or souls. They work better on demons because in the twisting of their souls they lose their inherent free will. They give it up to Lucifer." Castiel paused for a moment, then his lips twitched a little bit.
"I believe that Dean would make an inappropriate remark there."
"So you're an angel, and you're wearing a human suit, so Sam can stop you from telling Dean because your human suit has been dead." Jess's mind wanted the clarification, even though it was so hastily pointed out that calling Castiel Mr. Suit Guy was way more ironic than she originally thought.
"Yes, I could speak to Dean in my true form, but there are language barriers to that. I attempted to speak to Chuck, but he vehemently refused to encourage such behaviors and insinuated that I had at some point replaced him with another Chuck. I believe he has caused himself brain damage with all the drinking."
Jess decided not to ask who Chuck was. He was probably a leprechaun or something equally as terrifying.
"So you can't just, I don't know, wear another human for a while? One that hasn't been dead?"
"To find another vessel would be difficult, and I would risk this one decomposing to the point that I could no longer wear it. Still, your suggestion is actually sensible, and I feel foolish for not having considered it." So, is that a yes? Castiel just vanished instead of answering her question. Jess sighed and grabbed her jacket and the pizza money that Dean had left her. Screw food. She needed a drink. Lisa was peeling the potatoes that she was making for dinner a bit more vengefully than was warranted. Ben was still mad at her for making Dean go away, and was sulking in his room, playing with the deck of cards that Dean had bought him instead of with the brand new gaming system that she had given him not even a week ago. It particularly irked her, because the gaming system had been a pure guilt purchase, and if Ben had any decency as a child, he would at least play with the bribe his mother had purchased for him. "Lisa Braden, I need your assistance," a gravelly voice rumbled from behind her. She felt that shrieking and throwing a potato at the disheveled man in front of her was a perfectly rational reaction. Even though she could admit that a tuber and a breast cancer awareness peeler might not be sufficient weaponry to defeat an apparently homeless accountant who could break into her home unannounced, she was a flexible girl. She could work with what she had. And what she needed was to keep the obviously drug-addicted man away from her son. "Who are you? What do you want?" She fairly screeched the last part of her question to cover the sound of Ben's concerned voice floating out of his room. Of course, yelling more just ensured that her son came running. "Mom?" "Ben, go to the neighbors," she spat, not taking her eyes off the intruder for a second. "I am Castiel. Dean Winchester is my friend," the intruder announced. "Dean doesn't live here anymore."
"I know that."
"Why are you here, then?" Lisa reiterated her question. In truth, she would have been less scared if the man hadn't known Dean. "Dean says he's an angel and he wants to know why the hell you're here." Ben's voice had the flat quality that it has always had when he's reading out loud, and Lisa glanced out of the corner of her eye at her son. He was very much not at the neighbor's house. He was also going to be in trouble once the homeless, drunken accountant angel guy left. "I told you that you weren't allowed to talk to Dean." Lisa was embarrassed the moment that the words left her mouth, because there were more important things to be thinking about, and from the looks that both Ben and the Castiel guy shot her, they both knew it, too.
"Yeah, so? I'm not talking, am I? I'm texting. You're the one who still has his cell number in your phone."
Ben's tone was snotty and a touch defiant. Her child was in so much trouble.
"I need to borrow your mother for a while," Castiel stated, apparently choosing to ignore Lisa's sidebar into parenting mode.
"Borrow me? For what?" Lisa was pretty sure that her voice had never sounded that incredulous before. Not even when the doctor confirmed her pregnancy, and she had to face the truth that she was about to become a single mother.
"Dean wants to know the same thing," Ben piped in from where he was still stubbornly staring at the phone. "I need an alternate vessel to borrow for a while. My current one is not capable of performing the task that I need to accomplish."
Lisa was pretty sure she had never had a more surreal conversation.
"What?"
"Dean says the same thing, only with a lot of words that I'm not supposed to say, and I think that is supposed to be a text drawing of a really long knife."
"I don't even know if you're a good angel or not."
She continued to address Castiel because, really, she didn't give a flying fuck what Dean Winchester was typing in text messages to her son. Castiel's, "I am," was overshadowed by Ben's, "There are bad angels?" Lisa was going to have to drag her son to church on Sunday. She didn't care if she had to listen to the Reverend sneak in several comments about premarital sex and the hardships of single parenthood. Ben obviously needed a little more religious schooling, especially now that their association with Dean was bringing angels calling.
Dean wants to talk to you. At least, I think that is what this says. I don't think he texts well when he's angry.
Ben sounded confused, and Lisa wasn't sure whether it was herself or Castiel that Dean wanted to talk to. Then again, Ben probably didn't know either.
"Why do you need me to be your vessel?"
she chose to ask the angel instead of trying to puzzle out Dean of all people.
"I told you," Castiel began, but Lisa cut him off with an impatient wave of her hand, the one still grasping the peeler.
"No, what is it that your current body can't do? And if you say sleep with a man..."
"Mom, gross!"
Lisa's not so humble that she's not proud that she just grossed her son out. And really, Dean is a good-looking guy and a genius in the sack. She wouldn't be surprised if he was making an angel want to give him a go.
"I cannot tell you that. I cannot possess you like a demon could. It takes an act of faith from the human vessel. If I tell you the outcome, then there will be no faith."
Castiel sounded like he was telling the truth. On the other hand, he didn't seem to have that large of a range of facial expression that Lisa could tell if he wasn't telling the truth. Lisa's gut told her that he was, at the very least, manipulating the truth, but she wasn't sure if that was just because she's paranoid in general, or just paranoid about anybody that knows Dean.
"Ask Dean if I can trust him," Lisa instructed her son.
When Castiel opened his mouth to complain, she waved the peeler at him again. "It is still faith. You never said who I had to trust here."
"He says yes and wants to know why you're asking that question. He also says that one of you better, fucking call him right now."
Ben's voice was starting to fill back in with his hero worship tone that he always got after spending more than 5 minutes with Dean, and Lisa was really just tired of it all. Also, there was no fucking way she was going to let Dean fucking Winchester order her around like that. Infuriating little...
"Okay, Angel Face, take me for a spin."
Castiel frowned at her.
"Was that supposed to be a yes?"
Furious didn't begin to describe how Dean felt at the moment. First, Jess got all weird on him and called him an idiot. Then Bobby wouldn't let him out of eyeshot for hours, like Dean was going to try to kill Hades with a machete. Then his damn dog escaped from its kennel, and when Dean found him, yeah, the traitor was sitting at the freaking brother-stealing weirdo's feet in a park, fetching a goddamn ball. Then Ben texted him on Lisa's phone, and he was going to freaking kill Cass.
"Dean." Lisa's voice was unusually monotone and raspy. Dean would have known it was Cass from that clue alone if he was so stupid as to miss that she had suddenly traveled across several states and was standing right next to Dean in his motel room.
"Cass, what the hell are you doing in?"
"Sam is lying to you."
Castiel cut him off with an impatient wave of his hand.
"Is that a potato peeler?"
"Dean, pay attention."
"I am."
"No shit, the guy's lying to me, Cass. You didn't need to hitch a ride with my ex to tell me that."
"No, listen. Sam is lying to you. Your brother's soul hasn't departed his body since the last time that he died, and I think you remember that occasion."
"Cass, I don't know what kind of angel weed you've been smoking, but..."
"There are no buts here, Dean, except for the kind that is your head."
"What?"
Castiel's hands come up to rest on Dean's shoulders, his earnest expression doing really weird things to Lisa's face.
"I can see his soul, Dean. It is completely intact."
Dean shook his head in denial.
"Sam wouldn't. He wouldn't do that to me."
"He would if he thought it was the best thing for you. He would if you were the most important person in the world to him."
"You're wrong. Sam wouldn't think that's the best thing. He knows how I feel about the... And he knows me better than that. He wouldn't let me think that he's trapped in hell. He knows that I don't... We could work through whatever's happened to him."
Dean rambled, his guts churning in fear and his heart trying to feel both broken and hopeful at the same time. Surely you cannot be so blind that you do not understand what I am speaking about.
Did you just call me stupid? Because I've got to tell you that I am up to here with people telling me that these days.
Dean snapped as he jerked his hand roughly at the top of his head. Castiel sighed, and his mouth twisted with displeasure.
I do not have time for this. Jimmy no longer occupies my vessel. The longer I am away from it, the more difficult it will be for me to return to it. I am comfortable with it and do not wish to find a new permanent one.
That's creepy.
It has occurred to you, has it not, that you have spent time in hell, abducted, if you will, from the earth, and that while not a virgin you are not experienced in the ways of homosexuality, essentially an innocent, and that you are neither a soldier of heaven nor hell, but a staunch defender of the earth?
Dean stared at Cass for a moment before his brain finally caught up to what Cass was, in Dean's opinion, badly intimating.
Dude, I am not a girl.
And that's gross. Totally and completely.
He's my brother, and you need to cut down on the number of questions that you use in a sentence.
Persephone, in legend, was the niece of Hades, so the incestuous nature of your union would also be in line.
Cass, I'm gonna say this one time. There is no union. And if that is Sam who's been... The last thing that I'm going to be doing to that kid's face is kissing it with anything other than my fist.
Dean, we do not have time for your petty squabbles. I do not think that Sam knows the great danger that his desire to protect you has placed on himself and those he cares about. I can see his soul. If I can see it, then other angels can as well. If one of my siblings that has foolishly cast their lot with demons were to see him, there is a very good chance that they will form a plan of attack that none of you will be ready for.
Fuck you, Cass.
Castiel's frown looked out of place on Lisa's face, but instead of arguing any further with Dean, he vanished. Dean looked down at his phone and contemplated texting Lisa or Ben to make sure that they were okay, but he figured that Lisa wouldn't appreciate it. And truthfully, he just didn't have the energy for anything other than getting drunk and passing out.
The sun burned way too brightly into Dean's eyelids the next morning. He tried rolling over to make it hurt less, but all that movement did was remind him why moving quickly when you have a hangover was a bad idea. His stomach swished and then clenched when he remembered why exactly it was that he had gotten so drunk the night before. If Cass was right, then that... Fuck. He didn't think that Sam would ever be that cruel to him again, but Sam's head had always been screwed on a little funny. Part of Dean worried that it was his fault, but Sam would blame their dad if he even acknowledged that he had a problem at all. At the moment, Dean was pretty willing to blame John Winchester for just about anything in their lives, because he just did not want to contemplate the possibility that he had encouraged Sam to be so dependent on him that he'd... Dean's head throbbed again, and for a while he allowed himself to indulge in the feeling. As long as it felt like his brain was trying to dig its way out of his skull with a spoon, he didn't have to spare the brain cells to think about what Cass had told him. He also didn't have to think about the fact that he wasn't nearly as repulsed by the idea of being... that... to Sam, as he should be. Maybe it was just all the other shit that had been handed to him in his life. Maybe it was the fact that there had never been anybody more important to Dean than Sam. Even if he put his imagination into it, Dean couldn't see himself loving anybody more in the future. And that future included the admission that his own brother had been letting him mourn his passing when he wasn't actually gone. That he would let Dean wallow in his pain and guilt instead of letting him know that he was alive, that he wasn't possessed any longer. Dean knew that Sam wasn't okay,
He couldn't be after how the last year before the end had gone. But Sam should have known that Dean was the first person he should go running to. That Dean would never let him down. Only that wasn't really true, now was it? Dean had let Sam down. He had been on the verge of giving Sam that great big letdown. And yeah, Dean hadn't gone through with it because of Sam's faith in him. But had he ever really told Sam where that stemmed from? Sam had told him that he didn't see family the same way that Dean did. If he didn't know that Dean would do... Fuck. Apparently, hangovers had lost their power to shut Dean's brain off. That really reached a whole new level of suck. Ugh. With an irritated grunt, Dean shoved himself out of the bed and stumbled into the motel shower. After fumbling around with the ancient knobs, a tepid spray of water started to come down on his aching head. If it were any other day, he'd think about jerking off, but it wasn't any other day. His brain was bound to conjure images of Sam's naked ass, or his giant paws or lips, and then he was going to have Big Brother guilt for the rest of the day. He didn't need Big Brother guilt when he went to kick so-called Sam's ass. He needed to be in control of his righteous fury so that he could really give maybe Sam what for. Then, afterwards, he was going to stick his tongue so far down that kid's throat that it wouldn't be funny, because it had been ages since Dean had gotten a really good kiss, and Lisa had tried, but she just couldn't possibly kiss like Sam could kiss. Dean had seen his Sammy kiss, and the boy knew what he was. Dean's eyes glared threateningly down at his now also aching other head. God, he really hated his body. Of all the times to decide that it wanted a little something, it had to pick when he was thinking of Sam. It was enough to give a guy a complex. Grudgingly, because it had been a few days was all, Dean wrapped his hand around his dick and gave it a tug. It felt like miniature fireworks were exploding all over his skin. Dean yanked his hand away viciously and tried to convince himself that whatever had just happened had not just happened because it was weird and not the way he normally felt when jerking off. Ever since he had gotten back from his stint in hell, sex hadn't been the same. It hadn't felt as good. He hadn't felt as sated with his one-night stands. He had convinced himself that it was just that he was older and had been through so much. It was just that it was time that he settled down and started looking for a relationship. Not that he had been planning on living long enough to have a relationship, but that was what aging guys did. Lisa was supposed to have been his solution. She was a great person. She had a kid he liked. She was fantastic in the sack. Only it hadn't worked out so great. Sex with her had been standard. She was still as agile as ever, but it hadn't been that satisfying, loving stuff that he'd read about in old magazines at the laundromat. Part of him had figured it was just the constant mourning for Sam that put a damper on his love life. In truth, part of him was still convinced that was the case. A trip through hell and then having to watch the most important person in your world go there would put anybody's libido into a tailspin. Knowing that Sam was out of hell was bound to revive the old sex drive a bit. Granted, circumstances indicated that Sam was being a big, giant, brother-hurting douche, but Dean hadn't let that get in the way of loving Sam before. His cock was just happy that Sam wasn't being tortured, and it was doing its thing to celebrate. Nodding in agreement with his thoughts, Dean wrapped his hand back around his cock and gave it another tug. Fireworks again. And okay, that was just not normal for him. That bubbly, sparkly feeling was all wrong. He'd never felt that before, pre or post-hell, and it was too coincidental that the new sensation was starting up right after the weirdness of the conversation with Castiel the night before. With a sharp jerk of his hand, Dean wrenched the shower over to cold. He could feel the water temperature drop slightly right before a stream of icy coldness hit him, and he was reminded of exactly why he hated to use cold showers. It put him in a bad mood. Well, a worse mood than having a hangover and learning that his beloved brother had been lying to him had put him in.
Dean stumbled out of his shower and stood shivering in the bathroom for a while, glaring daggers at his reflection in the small mirror that the motel provided. He was pissed. He was so totally going to kick Sam's ass.